We are pursuing our theme tonight of understanding the society in which we live. And before we do that, can I just say a word to you about this sermon that we have read from, the Sermon on the Mount. If you've got your Bibles there in front of you, you'll see that the sermon begins at almost the first verse in chapter 5. And the sermon extends then to the end of chapter 7. This sermon is one of the most difficult of all the occasions on which Jesus spoke to understand. And it seems to me that many people have turned to this sermon, and what they've tried to do is they've tried to say, this is how Christian people ought to live in our society. So for many preachers, this sermon has been set up as an answer to the question, how shall I live as a person of faith? And some of you may have heard preachers preaching in that way. Some of you will have read books that present this sermon to you in that light. It's a guide, if you like. Well, that's not how the sermon seems to me. My sense of this sermon is this. Jesus was preaching to a large crowd of people. And the people he were preaching to felt very confident about their standing before God. They were the Israelites. They were the Jewish people. They were the chosen people of God. They alone amongst all the nations of the world back in that time had a relationship with God. They had God's truth. They had his word. So there was a general sense amongst the people that they were in a good relationship with God. They were comfortable about it. They didn't question it. They simply assumed that God was their God and they were his people and they could live their lives in that light. And Jesus comes along and he preaches this sermon. The background to this sermon is the Ten Commandments. Now, last Sunday morning, we thought about the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments will stand as an accusation against men and women on the last day. The Ten Commandments have the role of accusing men and women of their sin. And that's what Jesus does in this sermon. He takes the Ten Commandments and he preaches it in such a way so that those listening to him are shaken out of their complacency. They had had the Ten Commandments as a nation for centuries. They knew them by heart. But Jesus preaches this sermon to show them just how deep the Ten Commandments cut. Just how searching they are in terms of the human experience. So this is a sermon that's designed to convict you. It's a sermon designed to show your sin. It's a sermon that sets up the standard that God has and how every one of us fails to achieve this searching standard by which God measures men and women every way. And then when you come to chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel, beginning at verse 7, what Jesus does is he brings his sermon to an end by driving it home. He does what we would call application. So he's given you his sermon, he's given you his teaching, and then in a series of statements, he drives it home to the heart of his listener. So beginning then, as we've said, at verse 7, you have a number of short statements in which he leaves his listener beyond any doubt that what he's been saying in this sermon is the most important thing they've ever listened to. that responding to it is a matter of life and death, not just now, but even to eternity. So what you have is you have about five different statements in which Jesus drives home the importance of responding to what he has preached. So verse 7, you've got the importance of responding to God. Our text, verses 13 and 14. Then you have the responsibility of listening to the right message, not to wolves in sheep's clothing, at verse 15. And then you've got these two ultimate applications that take us right to the end times. You've got these very frightening verses at verse 21 to 23. You've got the idea of the Lord turning to those who claim they know him and saying to them, depart from me. Now, can you see how relevant that would have been for his audience? They thought they knew God. They thought God was on their side. They were sure that they had this confidence before God. But then Jesus brings his message and says to them, I never knew you. Now, that's a tremendous statement of judgment that Jesus brings there in verses 21 to 23. And then finally, look at verse 24, and you've got this very well-known image of building your life. And this is where I want us to start tonight. In our text and in these closing words, you have the main thrust of the sermon of Jesus. Let's read verses 13 and 14 then. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So let's start here then. In this sermon, in these closing verses, Jesus makes one thing clear, and that is every one of us faces a choice. How are we going to respond to God? And Jesus, if you like, he brings his message right home to the individual. And he says, now you have to choose. You've heard my sermon. You've listened to the truth. How will you respond? And choice is right at the heart of these closing verses. You can choose a path, and you can choose how to build your life. And as you and I seek to understand the society in which we live in a society that has lots of choice. And any one of us, we face more choice today than we ever have. Where do you go to shop? What do you want to buy? What do you want to wear? There's unlimited choice. But the choice that Jesus is talking about here is that personal choice, personal responsibility. And I want to pause there, if I can, for a moment. We are living in a society in which people do not like to take responsibility. It is never my fault. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment, if you can. And either think about yourself, or think about your family, think about your colleagues in work, and think about how people respond when things go wrong. And you'll hear one cry all the time. And it's not my fault. Now think back to this morning. And we said, didn't we, this morning, that there are three fundamental truths that God has established for society. How to live as an individual, how to be married, and how to do family. And think about how often in those three areas you'll hear people say to you, it's not my fault. Now, I've got to be careful in what I say. I'm very aware of it. I'm very aware that I must be sensitive to how to apply what I'm saying to you. So the big idea here is that people do not like to take responsibility. And people will say to you that the reason for the things that go wrong in their lives is laid at the door of everyone and anyone but them. So if something goes wrong in a marriage, it's the other person's fault. And if something goes wrong in a family, then it's another member of the family's fault. And if something goes wrong in work, then it's never your fault. It's your boss's fault, your colleague's fault. It's the people you work with. It's their fault. It's never your fault. Now what Jesus does here is he leaves his listeners beyond no doubt. They have to take responsibility. How will they respond to his words? And I want us to just notice how Jesus brings home to his audience the need to take responsibility. So our text then, 13 and 14. What Jesus does is he sets out in front of all his listeners a choice between two ways of living. There is the broad way with the wide gate, and then there's the narrow way with the narrow gate. So if you like, imagine Jesus with these thousands listening to him, saying to them, you must choose the path for your life, and you have a choice, the broad way or the narrow way. Now, I want you to notice how Jesus presents, in just a few sentences, the realities of these two ways of living. If you look first of all at the broad way, so it's in verse 13, isn't it? He says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Now, to me, this is the most amazing picture that Jesus paints. He says, you can live your life, you can go in the direction that everyone else is going. So what Jesus does in the broad way, he tells you there are some people who live as if only now matters. People will live their lives, says Jesus, as if the present moment and the life that we choose here is all that there is. And that's the overwhelming majority of people living for the present, for the now, for this life, living for their homes and their families and their jobs and their careers and their pleasures, living for the weekend, for holiday, living for Christmas, living for life as we experience it in society. That's your one choice. And then what Jesus does in the next verse, can you see in verse 14? He says, you can choose instead to live a life which is all about the next world. You can make your choices, you can navigate your path, and what your mind is set on is the world that is to come. And he calls it there, doesn't he? Right at the end of verse 14, life. So here's your choice. Live for now or live for what's to come. Your choice, says Jesus, is to live like everyone else, follow everyone else, be like everyone else, fill your life with what everyone else does. Or, he says, you can be like just a few people, just a small number, who live their life for the world that is to come. So use your choice. So I want us to imagine we are listening to this sermon, and we've sat through Jesus talking about adultery, and we've heard him speaking about stealing, and he's spoken about the law, and now he says, make your choice. How will you live? So let's ask him then, what's this first option like? Living like everyone else. Well, look at verse 13. And he'll tell you that this is the easy choice. Everyone else is living like it. You'll never be alone. You'll never be on your own. You'll never be criticized. If you live like everyone else, living for the here and now, then everything will work out for you, he says, in the here and now. It's an easy option. So what then is the narrow way like, this other path that we could walk, where there's just a few on it? Well, look at verse 14, and we see it there. Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way. It's a difficult path. It's a narrow path. Now, I'm not going to spend any time tonight, though, in the background, because there is a background to the broad path and the narrow path in the Old Testament. What I'm trying to do is drive home to us that it's about choice. So you can live a popular, you can live a easy, you can live a comfortable, you can live a just like anyone else life. Or you can live a difficult, a narrow, a constricted, a squeezed life. That's your choice, says Jesus. Now, as we imagine ourselves there, let's imagine now saying, why would anyone choose the difficult option? Now, I'm sure you've thought about this in your own life, haven't you? Why would we ever choose something that's difficult? We are living in a society where people don't like to do anything that's difficult. Generally speaking, the minute something gets hard, then people opt out. So the minute that a marriage gets hard, or a family life gets hard, or a job is hard, people stop because it's hard. We don't like doing hard things. So why would anyone choose to live a difficult life? Well, I want to show you why. And it's in both 13 and 14. The reason for your choice must be made on the basis of eternity. What's at the end of the path? You live your life. What's at the end of your life? That's what Jesus puts before his audience. So choose the easy life, the life that everyone else lives, the life for the here and now, living for a day, a week, a month, a year, making your plans, planning what you do next year. Live that life, and it's an easier life, says Jesus. But what you need to know is at the end of that path, there is destruction. Listen to it in verse 13. He says, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Now, he's referring there to going in by the gate. So there are many who make the choice to live life as if this life is all that matters. And at the end of that life, there is destruction. So why would you choose to live a life, to walk a path, to take a journey that ends in destruction? Jesus then turns to his audience and he says, I'll give you a reason for choosing a narrow and a difficult and a hard path. Because at the end of that path, there's life. And Jesus mentions the word life in its fullest sense. He is talking about heaven, and he's talking about glory, and he's talking about peace, and he's talking about the joy of being in the presence of God. That, he says, is at the end of a most difficult and hard and testing journey. Where does your life lead? That's what he's coming to in these very searching and very powerful verses. And so let's think about ourselves. And we need to think, don't we, about the society in which we live. Where does the path lead that I'm walking? Where does the path lead of the lives that people in our society are walking? Let's build on an idea now that you'll hear a lot of in the next few weeks. Let's take the idea of Brexit. And people are saying, aren't they, we're on this path. We are leaving the European Union. We don't know where it leads. And they say, will it lead to a wonderful future for our country? Will it lead to disaster? Will it be like jumping off a cliff edge? These are the images that people use. And there's such uncertainty about where we will end up having started out on this path. Now, with that in mind, Jesus comes and he says, there's a much greater path that you must choose. And there is no doubt about where either path will end. There's an easy route that ends in destruction, and there's a difficult, hard, narrow life that leads to life. So let's think of ourselves. You see, the great idea in these two verses is this. It's not the journey that matters. Have you ever heard that phrase? People will say it, won't they? They'll say that what matters is the journey. If you're actually going on a literal journey, so you're going on holiday and you're going to drive and you want to see the scenery, or you're going to fly because you love the experience, people say, don't they, the journey matters. Now here's Jesus saying the opposite. It's not the journey, it's the destination. That is what matters. Where will you end? What will your end be like? And so as he brings this sermon to its end, He says to those who listen to him, make your choice. You can live this easy life or this difficult life, but bear in mind the end of your journey. And we know, don't we, because we read Matthew's gospel, that most of the people listening to him chose the broad way, the easy life. They chose the life of the here and now. And there were very few indeed who heard this sermon and chose the narrow way that led to life. So it's only fair, isn't it, that I ask myself, what path am I on? It's only fair that I ask you, what choice have you made? And I want to do it like this. If you are a Christian and you've chosen this path, there will be times when it'll be very narrow indeed. There will be times when this path will be so stony and barren and tricky and demanding and exhausting that you will wish yourself not to be on it. You will be at times so tried and tested by the path that you're walking that you will wish yourselves on the broad road. Some of you are already there, I think. You're looking around, and you're looking at your friends, and you're looking at your family, and you wish with all your heart you weren't on this narrow path, because it's very lonely, and you're on your own walking the path most of the week. When the path takes you back home on a Sunday night and it takes you through the hours of a Sunday night and a Monday morning and it takes you into the week, you're the only one on the path. There's nobody with you. You don't see another walker for a whole week. That's what it's like to be on the path. And you look around and you see people. You see them in their numbers. You see them in their company. And you'll see them on the broad road. And you'll wish yourself with all your heart to be with them. Now, can I say to you, if the path is narrow and it's ever so difficult, and you're facing little choices day by day. What shall I do right now? Shall I stay or shall I join the broad road? Shall I stay or shall I go where it's easier? Shall I give up and do that which is not so difficult? Can I ask you, think about where your journey will end. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He wants to bring home the final destination. Is it life or is it destruction? Is it life or is it perishing? And this is the heart of these verses. When it's tough, when it's difficult, when it's hard, when you're exhausted, when your feet hurt, when you've scraped your knees, keep your thoughts on the destination to which you're going. Fix your eye there. Put your heart upon where this path will end and what it'll be like for you. That's the choice you make. That's why all of us have difficult decisions to make, don't we? We have to, in lots of ways, decide day by day. Do we stay? Because it's tough. Do we stop? Because it's hard. Or do we keep in the narrow way? And the only thing that will ever motivate any of us to choose anything that is difficult is to keep your mind and heart on the destination end. And that's what you find from the verses at the end of the chapter, from verse 24. You'll find there Jesus referring to the end. So you know the passage, build on the rock, build on the sand, build your house and the storms come. And if you've built on the rock, your house will stand. And if you've built on the sand, your house will collapse. That is all about, not here and now, it's about the future. The storms and the winds and the floods of the judgment of God upon a life. Will it stand or will it fall? So as we finish then, this is a verse about choice. It's a verse about personal responsibility. It's a text about how you're going to live. It's an encouragement to set your mind and heart on your destination's end. It's an exhortation from Jesus himself to think about where you're going. What will it be like? Will it be heaven? Will it be hell? Will it be eternal glory or separation from God? Now, when it's difficult and tough, and you wish it was something else, and you wish for an easier time, think about where you're going, what it'll be like, what God has promised you. And we'll end with this thought. When Jesus preaches this message, he's not asking his listener to do anything, is he, that he wouldn't do himself? What was his path like? And you know that his path was the narrowest of all. The path that Jesus himself took was the loneliest, most difficult that any human person has ever taken. He went to the cross. He was made sin for us. He was rejected by men and women. Even God turned away from him when he was upon that cross. When the whole of creation turned its face away and everything grew dark, Jesus Christ chose the narrowest of all paths. And do you remember what the preacher said about him? Talking about Jesus, the preacher said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has now sat down at the right hand of God. What Jesus himself has done is what he would encourage you and me to do. For the joy that is set before us, let's endure the cross. Let's endure the path. Let's keep traveling on this narrowest, most difficult of ways for the joy that is set before us. And if we can do that, then we will be forever with the Lord.